Let's pray, folks. Jesus Christ, help us to understand why you came to us as a baby and what it all means. Amen. Well, death or accident, a wedding or a baby, there are moments in our lives that change everything. Has it been the case for you? Life is never the same again. Well, such a moment took place 2,000 years ago, but hardly anyone noticed. And yet the effects of this birth have resounded ever since. I've called this talk The Baby Who Divides. History itself is divided by his birth. BC, before Christ, and AD, after the year of our Lord. Today, 31% of the world follow Jesus Christ. Why is that? What do one in three people see in him? Well, we need to go back to his beginning, even before his beginning. With his birth, all changed. We'll look at the old order before he came and the new order. So the old order. Mary and Joseph, his parents, were Jews. Now history often shapes the way that we see ourselves. So Britons take pride in the way their little nation stood against the might of the Nazis. And I suspect the Ukrainians will look back at the way they stood up to Putin. In a few years' time, Argentinian schools will no doubt be full of Lionels after their World Cup win. Imagine being a teacher with a classroom of Lionels. Well, for the Jews, the big event in their history was their rescue from slavery. God rescued them from death on a night called the Passover. And every year, sincere, devout Jews celebrate the Passover to remember this rescue. There is nothing more important for a Jew than to remember this rescue, that God had rescued them. Well, God rescued the Jews not because they were better than anyone else, better than their enemies. They were not. All of us, Jews included, have turned our backs on God, our Creator. We've gone our own way. We keep doing wrong. So God rescued them not because they were better, but because he had pity on them. He chose them. He made them his special people, his rescued ones. Well, were they grateful? No, they weren't. They just kept carrying on, disobeying him, continuing to do wrong. This created a problem. How could they come to him and keep coming to God, a God who is true and right and good, when they're always in the wrong? Well, God gave them three things that helped. A bit. Sort of. He gave them the law. I'll call all this the old order, what he gave them. He gave them the law, a temple, and sacrifices. The law showed them how they were meant to live under God's rule. The temple was a place to meet with God, a special place. And sacrifices were a way of saying sorry to God when we do wrong. Now, Mary and Joseph, they were sincere Jews. They tried hard to obey God's law. So they brought their first baby to the temple. God's law said that they should do that and make a sacrifice there. Now, in this reading, do you see how these three things from God are mentioned? Then it was time for the purification ceremony, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord in the temple. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. And so they offered the sacrifice that was required in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. God had given the Jews the law, the temple and the sacrifices, and I said they helped a bit, sort of. But even with these three things, the Jews kept failing God. Even the most sincere, the most devout, those who tried their hardest to please God, they kept failing. So God promised a fourth thing. Actually, it wasn't a thing at all. It was a person, a baby. God promised to send a rescuer. Now, remember what I said was most important to a Jew? Remembering that God had rescued them from slavery. Now God promised another rescuer. Well, the Jews had lots of practice at being slaves. First, they were slaves to the Egyptians, and God rescued them. That was when they had their Passover celebration first. Then, because they kept breaking God's law, he sent them as prisoners to Babylon. But again, God had pity on them, and so he rescued them again. And now the Romans had invaded their land. For all this time, the Jews expected God would keep his promise to send a rescuer. They had a name for the promised rescuer. He was called the Messiah, or Christ. Long ago, God sent prophets, and these prophets were given words by God through his Spirit. Words of warning, but also words of comfort to those who suffered. But no prophets had been heard of in Israel for 400 years. All this time, the Jews were watching and waiting. When would the rescuer come? Well, the Jews imagined that God's rescuer would be some mighty, powerful general who would just come in and smash those powerful Roman armies. Well, the new order. The Christ did come, but his coming was so quiet and his parents were so poor that hardly anyone noticed. God didn't send a mighty general, but a baby. But his coming changed everything. The changes that came with this baby were so astonishing that even his parents, Mary and Joseph, were astounded. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Let's unpack why it was so amazing. When Mary and Joseph came into the temple, two other people came at just that moment. Two prophets. No prophets for 400 years. And now two prophets were there in the temple at the same time. After 400 years, God spoke again. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was just and sincere and was eagerly awaiting for the Lord to rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not see death until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. When Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. And we hear about Anna a bit later in the reading, but from Simeon and Anna, we learn three things about this baby. First, who he was. The Jews were those who had been rescued by God. That was how they identified themselves. And now here was God himself come as a baby, come to rescue again. His very name, Jesus, means God rescues. He was called the Lord's Christ, that is, God's rescuer. That was the first thing that was said, who he was. The second thing was that the old order, it all hangs together in him. It's fulfilled by Jesus. The old order focused on Israel. We're told how this baby was Israel's splendor or glory. He is the glory of your people Israel. Well, how so? How is this baby the glory of Israel? Well, Israel were God's special people, but they were never meant to keep God all to themselves. God wanted them to shine as a light to the nations, to reveal himself to the nations. That was Israel's job, and they didn't do a very good job of it. But this baby was to do just that. For I have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all people, the whole world. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. So this baby was Israel's glory and a light showing God to the nations. As I say, the old order was mainly about Israel. The new order reaches the whole world. The old order had its law, its temple, its sacrifices. The old order, which only sort of worked a bit, it was all about to change. This baby made it all hang together and work. The Jews met God in the temple, but in the temple, Simeon met God as a six-week-old baby. Jesus is the true temple, as Jesus said himself, where we meet God, the God who rescues. With this baby, the old order changed. Jesus on the cross fulfilled the law and made the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was Israel's glory, light to the nations. The law, the temple, the sacrifices, they all hang together in him. Well, his rescue, the final thing that Simeon had to say. God's rescue plan went far beyond rescuing the Jews from their Roman rulers. God had much bigger plans than that. First of all, his rescue brought peace. And not just peace from political enemies, but a much deeper peace, peace that is in the heart. So Simeon could say, Lord, you can now let your servant depart in peace. His rescue brought peace. Jesus rescued by dying. Jesus rescued not by wiping out the Romans, as the Jews imagine, but dying himself at their hands. What a strange way to conquer your enemies. And yet, that's what Jesus did. He defeated his enemies by dying at their hands. The Jews sacrificed the lamb at the Passover. Remember their great celebration of God's rescue? And Christ is called our Passover lamb. 700 years before this, the prophet Isaiah predicted Christ would suffer in this way. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Christ, our lamb, our Passover lamb, rescued us by dying. And his death rescued us from death. His death brought us life. Jesus died a painful, shameful death. And it looked like a complete failure. His mission, a total defeat. But in this defeat came his victory. Because 3 days later, he rose from death. We celebrate that on Easter Sunday. By rising from death, he showed that he'd defeated death, and he offers life to all who trust in him. In Jesus' death, we are rescued. Again, Isaiah said, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole, and with his wounds, we are healed. With his wounds, we are healed. By his death, we have life. You may be thinking, well, this is all an interesting story, Christmas story, a bit like Our Father Christmas stories. But this story is different because it's a true report. And it's very easy to miss this story, this true story, in all the fizz and glitter of Christmas. I say this is a true report for two reasons. There are many reasons, but I'll give you two. First, it was revealed by God. God himself gave this story. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. God's Spirit revealed the truth of who this baby was and what he would do to Simeon. It was not Simeon's idea. Jesus brought about the most incredible rescue in history. It's so incredible that no one would think of inventing a story like this. I mean, just consider God sending his son as a human baby to die on a cross, to rescue his enemies. I mean, what a story. Who would think up a story like that? Luke's report is true because it came from God himself. But that's not all. Luke's report is true because it's based on historic facts. Luke was a careful historian, as we read at the beginning of his gospel in chapter 1. And for example, look at his detailed report of Anna. We know her age, her marital status, her family background, and her role. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married for only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. Very precise. So often in his report, Luke gives very precise details. So anyone reading his report at the time could easily have gone and had it fact-checked. Luke's report is from God, and it's historically accurate. The baby who divides, the baby who divides not just time, but the baby who divides humanity. You see, as a true report, Luke's report is very confronting, because we will rise or fall as to how we respond to this baby. By him, we are either rescued or defeated. Because Simeon said, "This child is chosen to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise." For all who welcome him, Jesus brings rescue from our failures, even from death. He is a signpost to God. He's been sent as a sign from God. But many will oppose him. Many did oppose this baby and his God. Together, the Jewish and Roman leaders crucified him on a cross. And Simeon warned Mary of the sword that would divide her own soul as she watched her son dying in agony 30 years later. Today, many still reject him. But it's not some long-dead person they're rejecting. Yes, you might reject Buddha or Caesar or even Elvis. But if the story of Jesus is true, and billions are convinced that it is, then to reject Jesus is to reject a living, resurrected man. And not just a man, but the Son of God himself. The divine Jesus who knows our secret thoughts. By him the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. One day we will all stand before him, either as our rescuer or our judge. What will you say to him when he asks, "Why did you not accept my rescue? Why did you not accept my free forgiveness?" Or will you say with Simeon, "Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation"? We will rise or fall by our response to Jesus Christ. Will you accept his offer of forgiveness? Will you do that today? Can you make this carol that we're about to sing your prayer? O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel.